Well, it's wonderful to be in the Lord's house today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the 22nd Psalm. Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? From the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship, and those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. The suffering, praise, and posterity of the Messiah. A Psalm of David. And can you hear the sound of the deer of the dawn? Suffering, praise, and posterity. The deer of the dawn was in the earth. And the hunters sought to kill. It shouldn't have been a season for hunting, and yet the poaching hearts of a wayward people took to prohibited action. The master poacher would seek his day, a day of violation. Hunting prohibited. Prohibited, and yet it would prove necessary that the deer might usher in the dawn. Only he could usher in the dawn. He alone, no one else. For darkness had spread across the land and across the earth. People walked in darkness. Listen to how the psalm begins, verses 1 and 2. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. You know he felt it. He felt forsaken. He felt distanced. He felt unheard, a cry in the daytime, a cry in the night season. Have you been there? Have you felt the same, though in comparison, a light affliction? Oh, but look how quickly the feelings receive a garment to silence the spirit of heaviness. Verses 3 to 5, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. The deer of the dawn knew the track record of the Lord Almighty. The one proven trustworthy. The one proven a deliverer. The one who would not abandon nor allow his Holy One to see corruption. Romans 10, verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And is this not fitting concerning the wrath of God the deer had to endure? That sinful humanity be gifted the dawn? Psalm 30, verse 5, for his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Praise be to the Lord God Almighty, and praise be to the deer of the dawn. You see, even those that trust in the Lord feel the battle, the war, feel the strain and the pull. Verses 6 to 8, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who seek me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake their head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. Is it possible that the deer felt like a worm? We know many considered him a worm. A worm that needed to be put into the earth to feed on the dirt upon which they walked. Verses 9 to 11, but you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Back and forth. Verses 12 and 13, many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. You see, one was looking for a mighty matador that would master the Bashan bulls, this breaking forth of wild strength. They should have been bashful. But no, this was the hunted. This was the prey. This hero didn't wield a cape. He would master the bulls, no doubt, but they first would have their day with the sun, piercing his flesh with their horns. One was looking for a circus master that would tame the lions, but no, it was necessary that they have their day with the lamb-natured deer of the dawn. Verses 14 to 18, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it has melted within me in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. What a scene. The one who would usher in the dawn handed over to the butcher and hung up like a carcass. Surrounded by dogs, surrounded by the congregation of the wicked. And there they stood staring, yet not beholding in right manner. And now the unthinkable, they turn the scene of the dear one's death right there before him into a gambler's game. Oh, Spirit, speak. Dividing and casting lots. They needed his garment, all right. They needed the garment that only the deer of the dawn can gift wicked dogs. It's a miracle garment that turns them into a new creation. You can't play and gamble for it. The lots of men will never do. Verses 19 to 21, but you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword. My precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild ox, and you have answered me. You see, the Lord always comes through. The Father, and so too the deer of the dawn. The deer that ushers in the dawn, he answers. Take up the song, sing loud the lyrics. Verses 22 to 26, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All you offspring of Israel, for he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him, but when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. If the deer of the dawn should sing these words, should not we? What words? He has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Nor has he hidden his face from him, but when he cried to him, he heard. Let your heart live forever. What a line. The perfect heart of the Lord. Perfect pulse. Perfect tenor. Perfect flow, perfect passion. This forever intact, and so we carry on, verses 27 and 28. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and the families of the nations shall worship before him. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. Verse 29. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. And one day every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Verses 30 and 31, a posterity shall serve him, a seed shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born that he has done this. The words of Charles Spurgeon, this beyond all others. This is beyond all others, the psalm of the cross. It may have actually been repeated word by our Lord when hanging on the tree. It would be too bold to say that it was so, but even a casual reader may see that it might have been. It begins with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And ends, according to some in the original, with, it is finished. For plaintive expressions uprising from unutterable depths of woe, we may say of this psalm, there is none like it. It is the photograph of our Lord's saddest hours, the record of his dying words, the lacrimatory of his last tears, the memorial of his expiring joys. David and his afflictions may be here in a very modified sense, but as the stars concealed by the light of the sun, he who sees Jesus will probably neither see nor care to see David. Before us, we have a description both of the darkness and of the glory of the cross, the sufferings of Christ and the glory which shall follow. Oh, for grace to draw near and see this great sight. We should read reverently, putting off our shoes from off our feet, as Moses did at the burning bush. For if there be holy ground anywhere in Scripture, it is in this psalm. Darkness and glory, sufferings and glory. There would be no glory without the darkness of the cross. There would be no glory without the sufferings of Christ. Salvation, liberty, freedom, life, resurrection, reconciliation, eternal life, the riches of grace, the pearls of mercy, beauty for ashes, diamonds for gold, life worth living, life with meaning, true meaning, life that counts aright for eternity, and life that is kingdom on earth. The darkness Jesus endured, the sufferings of our Messiah. How dark did it get? Matthew 27, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Amplified, my God, why have you abandoned me, leaving me helpless, forsaking and failing me in my need? Listen, we have no idea what Jesus went through, what Jesus endured. And here he cries, my God, can't help but hear the cry of Christ the man, ripped, torn, beaten bloody for the sins of humanity, for our sins, for my sins, for your sins. Remember the back and forth. Isaiah 53, verses 10 and 11. Yet it pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, that is, crush him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Posterity shall serve him. He shall prolong his days in the pleasure of the Lord. My, has it prospered in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Man, it wasn't over. The peace, and yet the struggle of the night. Matthew 27, beginning at verse 46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised and coming out of the graves after his resurrection. And still they come today, rise. They went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. You know, I'm so thankful for the darkness, for the sufferings. Though this and these by many would be considered unpleasant, the partakers of glory pay reverence to that which Christ embraced and endured. And we know that there is darkness and sufferings that we too must embrace and endure, that glory might be made manifest, that the dawn of our dear one might break forth. 1 Peter 4, beginning of verse 12, beloved, do not think it strange. Church, my people, sons and daughters, followers, disciples, Christians, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. Any soldiers in the house? Any men and women of God? Jesus, people, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached, that is, insulted or reviled for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of the glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God. I mean, did I read that right? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. He's your creator, and you know, often we can't see what he's creating. Commit yourself to him as to a faithful creator. Darkness and sufferings often precede glory. Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial. Are you in one now? Remember the ones you've been through in the past and how you committed your soul to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. You know, let the memories, the history, serve as fuel. Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. Rejoice. Church, what a privilege, what an honor, what a blessing to partake of Christ's sufferings. The Message paraphrase reads, friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. You know what one preacher said? The Lord gets his best soldiers out of the highlands of affliction. That'll make a man or woman out of you. And these might be the words of an old-time preacher, and yet they are truth not to be forgotten, neglected, nor set aside for a lesser walk. Mark then, Christian, Jesus does not suffer so as to exclude your suffering. He bears a cross, not that you may escape it, but that you may endure it. Christ exempts you from sin, but not from sorrow. Remember that and expect to suffer. Yes, none can be like the man of sorrows unless they have sorrows too. And yet I know this is true. O child of suffering, be patient. God has not passed you over in his providence. He who is the feeder of sparrows will also furnish you with what you need. Take up the arms of faith against a sea of trouble. There is one who cares for you. His eye is fixed on you. His heart beats with pity for your woe, and his omnipotent hand will bring you the needed help. The darkest cloud will scatter itself in showers of mercy. The blackest gloom will give place to the morning. He, if you are one of his family, will bind up your wounds and heal your broken heart. When glory is revealed, when his glory is revealed, be glad with exceeding joy. When the dawn breaks, when the light comes, when darkness is silenced and suffering cease, when the stone set at the mouth of grave darkness is rolled away, when triumph is realized, when the battle is won, when the dear one has carried you through, when the dear one has led you through, when the dear one has given you the strength, power, and might to overcome the hunter, when darkness and sufferings have played their part in readying the horizon for the deer of the dawn to break forth in glory, I want to ask a question today. Will the pleasure of the Lord prosper in our hand? Will we see the labor of our soul and be satisfied? Will the pleasure of the Lord, not my will, but your will be done, will the pleasure of the Lord prosper in our hand? And I'm not just talking about now, but at the end of days, when days are done, will we see the labor of our soul and be satisfied? You see, we can say, yeah, I'm satisfied now. But everything is weighed by him. Because of darkness and sufferings, we experience gladness and exceeding joy that otherwise would never be known. And we become those who have an answer of hope for those in the midst of darkness and sufferings. And the Lord uses us, little deers, as avenues of the dawn, a glimpse of the dawn in the midst of the night. This realm and reality can come in no other way. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. He was reproached for his name. And if we are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon us. The message reads, if you're abused because of Christ, count yourself fortunate. It's the Spirit of God and his glory in you that brought you to the notice of others. If they're on you because you broke the law or disturbed the peace, that's a different matter. But if it's because you are a Christian, don't give it a second thought. Be proud of the distinguished status reflected in that name. The voice, if you should suffer for being a Christian, don't think of it as a disgrace, as it would be if you had done wrong. Praise God that you're permitted to carry this name. The Wycliffe Bible, if ye be despised for the name of Christ, ye shall be blessed, for that is of the honor and of the glory and of the virtue of God, and the Spirit that is his shall rest on you. You know, we long to be like Jesus, those that are blood-bought. I truly believe that although Jesus experienced the darkness, the sufferings, waves of darkness and suffering, and then the cloak, that he had peace through it all. No, not the peace of this world, the peace that surpasses all human understanding. Because He had faith and full trust in his Father. Though it not be easy, he took of the cup of suffering and drank it dry, yes, even the dregs of humanity. Into the Father's hands he committed his spirit. That the pleasure of the Lord might prosper. That he might see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. I truly believe that although we experience darkness and sufferings, we can have peace through it all. And it comes through yielding. And we too must yield up our spirits in the deepest hours of darkness. John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We know how the story ends, people. The victory is sure and the victory is secured. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 and 17, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We know that Jesus trusted in the Father. The height, the breadth, and the depth of his trust. And even though the darkness moved in and fell upon him, even though sufferings became the road upon which he must walk, each stone of suffering was but a step towards the dawn, towards the glory of a new day. You know, I would like to remind us that darkness is of use for our great benefit. Oswald Chambers said, at times, God puts us through the discipline of darkness to teach us to heed him. Songbirds are taught to sing in the dark. And we are put into the shadow of God's hand until we learn to hear him. Watch where God puts you into darkness. And when you are there, keep your mouth shut. Are you in the dark just now in your circumstances or in your life with God? Remain quiet. When you are in the dark, listen, and God will give you a very precious message for someone else when you get into the light. Let's have the worship team return today. Rise before the dawn. You know, I've heard many a songbird sing in the dark. There before the dawn, and I've been woken. And if we'd sing in the dark, there can be an awakening of those that have fallen asleep in the darkness. Psalm 119:147, I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. Song of Solomon 2:17, until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roer, a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Separation, the mountains of separation. That's it. Hope in his word. You know, Jesus did. And so, nevertheless, thy will be done. Because in the end, that's what matters. And every day until the end, or until the end of our life, speaks towards that hour, that moment, Not my will, but your will be done. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, will cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. The deer of the dawn has offspring. The blood-bought ones that choose costly grace and his story is our light in the darkness and his victory is our peace in the suffering and his glory shall be our portion and the warmth in our veins is his precious blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the darkness, for the suffering. You know, perhaps you're here today and you think him a worm. I would suggest you surrender now before you take your place where worms dwell and feast, while there is still hope of a dawning for you. Suffering Messiah. They pierced my hands, they pierced my feet. I can count all my bones. Man, did they beat him. Ripped and torn, shred for you and I. Oh, that we might stand before this holy scene, not just looking, but beholding. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I pray that that question grips us today. Every one of us. For we're all level at the foot of the cross. That question, will the pleasure of the Lord prosper in our hand? And will we see the labor of our soul and be satisfied? Let's stand today.